Good morning and welcome to our worship on this, the third Sunday of Easter. Sheltered in place, we continue the celebration of our risen Lord's presence in our midst. We join together in confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We keep silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our sins are forgiven. May Almighty God strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. We join together now in our gathering hymn, 384 in Evangelical Lutheran Worship, That Easter Day with Joy Was Bright. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join together in This is the Feast on page 140 in the front of Evangelical Lutheran Worship. Let us pray. God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is in Acts, the second chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will call on the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord.
The second reading is in 1 Peter, the first chapter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God, the Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join now in the acclamation. Gospel acclamation on page 142. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they went, they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? And Jesus asked them, What things? And they replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, and they did not see him. And then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared! Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. Our story in Luke's gospel today is a different perspective on Easter. Two men have made a journey of 7 miles to get home. They don't feel like walking, they're tired, but they have to make the journey. And a journey is an act of traveling from one place to another, and they have to go. They're exhausted by the events of the day. They don't have much left, and they put one foot in front of the other. They not only are tired, but they're also depressed. They see only the space in front of their eyes, the space right beneath their next footfall. And as they walk, they talk, they rehash the day. They're full of questions. These two men discuss those questions. They say, "It's so hard. What's next? What are we to do now?" And one of them says, "In my imagination, I feel like we should give up." And now a stranger appears. And you know, all have heard this story countless number of times. And they don't recognize Jesus. And they walk along, and he says, "What are you discussing? What are you talking about?" And one of the two men, the only one the Bible really identifies, Clopas by name, says, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" So they tell a story about Jesus, or Jesus tells a story about Jesus. And before he teaches them what he needs to teach them, he admonishes them. That's a hard thing. Two tired men on the road, a stranger who doesn't know what happened, and now they're being admonished by this stranger. He says, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared." And then Jesus opens up the entire history of the Bible, from Moses to the present, all of the things about him that they need to understand so that they can know who he really is. This is a journey, an act of going from one place to the next. The act of going those 7 miles from Jerusalem to home becomes something else, a different kind of journey. And the words of Jesus take them into a process of personal change, a development, if you will, of their fledgling faith. We are all on a journey of sorts. We are all on a road to Emmaus. We are all in one form or another asking questions, discussing what it might mean to have faith. In fact, some of us even ask, what is faith? And when they get to where they're going to call a night of rest and have some food, Jesus begins to walk on. And they beg him to stay with him. "Don't go, it's almost evening. Come, stay with us." You remember those incredible words? So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. This past week, as I wandered through a ton of Facebook posts and all kinds of emails, one of the interesting themes was so many people, because we're all sheltered in place, are baking bread. And some of them aren't even using a bread machine. They're making it from scratch. So the other day I went to the grocery store, and just for kicks, I went to see if there was any yeast available. And guess what? None. The shelf that's supposed to hold the yeast was empty. But I'd like you to think for just a moment about bread and about baking bread and about the process of kneading it and all of the instrumentation that goes into making a loaf of bread and putting it in an oven. And then I want you to think about that magical smell, the smell of baking bread. And what kind of memories does that hook you into? What kind of things does baking bread mean for you? I grew up in a home where every week my mother baked 7 loaves of bread because her sometimes bullheaded husband wouldn't eat anything store-bought. But the smell of that baking bread was absolutely magical. And taking a loaf out of the pan, setting it on the breadboard, and slicing a slice and slathering it in good Wisconsin butter was just absolutely incredible. But what about what it means to break bread and have your eyes opened? Bread is the stuff of life. And when we break it with a family, when we break it in church on Sunday morning, when we celebrate the presence of God in our midst in bread and wine, each week our eyes are opened once again. And we join the two on the road to Emmaus who say, "We have seen the Lord." One of the things that I thought a lot about this week was what happens when we go for a walk. There are people who are now walking and running that haven't done so for a long time. And because my mind has that kind of strange fascination with working in unusual directions, I thought about the poem or the story, Footprints in the Sand. We've all heard that until it doesn't really mean anything anymore. But hear those words. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed 2 sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. And when the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand and he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only 1 set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him. So he questioned the Lord about it. "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only 1 set of footprints. And I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me." And now hear again these very wonderful words. And the Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only 1 set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. So all of us on our current journey, going from one place to the next, our contemporary Emmaus journey in the midst of a pandemic with fears and all kinds of painful things happening, the faith walk that we engage in. We need to remember that that walk, when we think we are in charge, when we think we are going on our own, that's when Jesus carries us. Amen. And now we continue our worship as we sing together our hymn of the day, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 389, Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 104, the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. For those whose hearts are fervent with love for your gospel, that they are empowered to tell the story of your love in their lives and to show hospitality in response to this love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the diverse natural world, for jungles, prairies, forests, valleys, mountains, and for all the wild and endangered animals who call these spaces home, that they are nurtured and protected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For broken systems we've inherited and that we continue to perpetuate, forgive us. Restrain the nations from fighting over limited resources. Redeem us from the cycles of scarcity and violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the faith-forming ministries of this church, for those preparing for baptism, First Communion, confirmation, and membership, for those who participate in Sunday school and adult education, guide and inspire learners of every age and ability. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our companion Christians in Papua New Guinea and throughout Russia. We pray that you would deliver our brothers and sisters throughout Papua New Guinea, Russia, and the entire world from the pandemic that has crossed every boundary and penetrated every border to sicken and to kill. We pray for those who are ill, those who mourn, and those who fear this invisible threat. Grant healing, comfort, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Create in our hearts a yearning to rest in your promise of eternal and resurrected life. Give us thankful hearts for those who've died, even as we look forward to the hope of new life with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
We now share God's peace with one another. And even though we can't gather in a large group to share the peace, we can share that with those we're with this morning. Or we can receive the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, from Christ himself. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. We continue now with our communion liturgy. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Holy and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all of us. And so now, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us, because of this bread of heaven and this cup of salvation, we are bold to receive these gifts and bold to pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us ours, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. For those of you who are listening at home, if you could take a piece of bread, a sip of wine, or grape juice, or even water, and prepare to receive these gifts of life. And now we join together in singing Lamb of God on 146 of Evangelical Lutheran Worship. We join together in singing our first communion hymn, ELW 484, "You Satisfy the Hungry Heart."
You satisfy the hungry heart.
And now, take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. And now, take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. We now join in our second communion hymn, "We Know That Christ Is Raised," 449 ELW. Let us pray. Life-giving God, you have fed us with your word, and our hearts burn within us. Through this meal, you have opened us to your presence. Now send us forth to share the gifts of Easter with all in need, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to a new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us now and forever. Amen. And we conclude our worship today as we sing together, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today, Alleluia," ELW 369.
Christ is risen just as he said. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia.